So excited. Episode 300 is here, and we have a couple cool bonus guests at the end of the podcast. After the closing jingle, stick around to hear from Alex Winter. He is Bill S. Preston Esquire from the Bill and Ted movies, and we also have an interview with Cole Swindell. So that is all after the end of the podcast jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their minds.
So they have 300 extra ones,
and that's how we get the podcast.
Yes.
The podcast.
300 times.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
300 times.
The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
This is Sparta!
Oops, I cut off the end of the thing.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was kind of excited because
this is Sparta!
The 300th podcast. Today is
a
huge day.
I'm not sure how many people get that reference. I mean, you're really
putting a lot.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, this is Sparta from 300, the movie 300. By the way, thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts for sponsoring the podcast. And O'Reilly Auto Parts, want to just say a big shout out to you guys. I just put some new... windshield wipers on.
Stopped. Did you do it yourself?
Yeah, always.
Oh, man. You know, I went there a couple weeks ago to get oil.
Did you?
In my car. I did.
Look at
did you.
You
put it in yourself?
I did.
Man.
You changed your own oil?
I didn't change it. I just added.
She added because she has a slow leak.
Yeah,
or something.
But.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
but I went
way.
There and then came here and put it in.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day, and they even have oil that you can put in your car, says Carson. So today is huge because Gerard Butler is going to be joining us on the podcast.
That would...
Don't you remember when I came into your office months ago and I said, dude, we're coming close to... It was like when we were on episode 270 or something. And I said, Patrick, I said, can you do the biggest thing ever? I said, if you could get Gerard Butler, King Leonidas from the 300 movie, just to come on and do a... Even if it's 30 seconds, just to say congratulations on episode 300.
I can't believe I didn't take that seriously.
Oh, that would have been...
Why would you not? I thought you were like, I'll see what I get you.
On
like,
behalf of all
sure
the ladies, that would have been a
my
baller
contacts,
move.
But yeah. I'm not at all surprised they didn't bother to write me back.
Did you actually send something?
Yes.
Did you?
But I mean, why does anybody care?
Can you
that
show
it's
me the email?
Podcast?
If I go into your office, can you pull up the email that says I sent the thing?
Wow.
What kind of... I mean, you got me.
Oh my God.
You got me, man. I'm high on Chick-fil-A and I'm cussing on the podcast. You see what happens?
I just read this whole article about how you shouldn't do anything different on the podcast than you do on the radio.
Well, every day we
Patrick!
Have to do things a little different.
I feel like the Will Smith gif.
All right, I retire. That's it. Happy 300 podcast, everybody. Bubba berated me to the point that I lost control of this.
I'm sorry, Patrick.
<That's okay. laughs> I apologize. I apologize to you, D.
By the way, he mentioned it briefly about Chick-fil-A, but he's... Patrick's way off the wagon, like fell off and started rolling down the hill.
Like
there goes,
jumped head first off the wagon into the gravel.
So it started when you went to Legoland.
Yeah. So we went on vacation and I'm like, I'm not going to go on vacation and I've been on this diet for 6 months.
Before you continue, can I ask you to please not use your words?
What?
The one you just used a minute ago. Are you done with that?
Is he kidding? He's kidding, right? He's kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. Go on.
Okay, stop. It's... Oh, my God. What? I don't remember what I was even saying. Then.
This is Sparta!
You went to Legoland. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a classic Bubba move.
It was the most
so
Bubba thing he could have possibly
Before
done
Before you keep
right
going
there.
Any further, what's the capital of Idaho?
That would have been funnier. Like, okay. Anyway, so, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I ate Chick-fil-A. It was delicious.
Yeah, so why did you not get back on when you're vacation? I mean, like when I got back, I gained all kinds of weight too. And when I got back, I was like, well, I guess I need to get back on now and at least stay on for a couple
weeks. You've been
weeks.
Cheating for months. months.
I haven't, right, for months. And I was like, I said after vacation, I'll get back on.
It's been 8 days. Bubba's been literally cheating for 2 months.
Yeah, but I'm eating.
Since the 100 pounds ended.
I have been eating very good all week. No, when I got back from vacation, I said, okay, I'm back on for now. And I figured I could at least do this until football season.
It's been 3 months. 100 pounds ended 3 months ago. Bubba's gained like 40 pounds.
I have not. I'm literally right now at 290 pounds, which when I started the 100 pounds in 100 days, I was at 313 when we started.
So you're still down for the year.
I'm still down for the year. I'm much better off now than I was whenever we started the 100 pounds in 100 days. Yes, I gained like 15 pounds back. But you know what? I'm still 15 pounds lighter than I was.
That's right.
Or more.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. So I lost 45 pounds from the beginning of the year till last week.
Killed it.
So if I've gained 15 pounds in 8 days, which I'm pretty sure I have, I don't know. I was down for the year, right?
Yeah.
Down for the year.
Yeah.
Hey, how was Legoland?
Dude.
Before you get into it.
Before you go into that, have you ever been to Europe?
Yes, I have.
Hey, man, before you get into that, do you ever use a bidet?
I missed you guys.
Hey, before you...
Pat, oh, no, my gosh.
I missed y'all so go much. Ahead.
Hey, before you do, did you know I'm a fireman?
Oh, this is possibly the best podcast ever. We're only 5 minutes into it.
I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
I don't
about.
Know how anybody...
Here comes the drop of This is Sparta.
I'm not.
Three,
I'm not.
Three, two,
I'm not. I'm
one.
Standing here just listening to you guys talk.
Yeah.
So wait, you didn't send an email to Gerard Butler himself asking?
Can I see it?
Can you show me the send receipt?
Oh my gosh.
I went to Legoland several years ago. I went
Did you really?
In outside of San Diego. Well, they say it's in San Diego, but it's like 5 days away.
Yeah,
it's Temecula.
And so went there, and I don't know. I didn't really know what to expect. The kids were young. I didn't realize that there was. I know it sounds stupid, but I didn't realize like they were gonna have like things made of Legos. I thought it was just like an amusement park, and they just kind of called it that. But they have all kinds of
Lots
stuff. You can buy
stuff.
Legos.
You can buy Lego, of course.
Things that you can't buy anywhere else.
They have special Legos that you can buy there?
Yep. You can only buy them at the...
Like, what do they do? They have, like, neon lights and things in them?
I don't remember, but they have, like, special... You know, they sell little people now?
Uh-huh.
You know, the Lego people, they have ones that you can't get anywhere else. They have, like, specialized, like, Star Wars ones and all kinds of stuff, I think, but... It was good, but I didn't ride any rides because I don't do that.
Because you can't fit.
You'll do it once, man. You'll do it one time when you get told to get off because they can't get the bar to safely, click. And then you have to get off the ride, and then you walk past
it's a walk of shame.
Everyone, and they all know, and no one looks at you. They all, they all divert. It's like the jury coming in when they know that they're about to give you the guilty plea. No one looks at you, and you walk down and you walk out, and you're just like, and you go down the steps, or the ramp, and you're just like, man,
I can give you one worse.
There's something worse than that?
Yep, it's basically the same, but it's a tiny bit worse. I have been to many water parks in this country. I have never been anywhere where they did this except in Gatlinburg at it's an indoor water park. I can't, it's Wilderness of the Smokies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Took my daughter there at the top. Now they all these rides at every water park, there's a sign, and the sign says weight cannot exceed 321 pounds or 300 pounds. Or if it's like a double ride, it'll say total weight cannot exceed 400 pounds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what are they gonna do? They're gonna, you know, they're gonna weigh you.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, at Wilderness of the Smokies,
they weigh you.
There's a scale
what?
At the top of every.
Oh my gosh,
ride.
That's the craziest thing I think I've ever heard.
There's one where it's like a 4-person ride, and they make all four of you. There's a giant scale. They make all four of you stand on it. And I ain't gonna lie.
Together,
I was standing in the back, and I had my foot kind of off the scale on the ground, pushing it kind of fake it a little bit.
And you still didn't
make
it.
No, we made it on that one. But, like, there's one where it's an individual ride, and the max was, like, 300 pounds. And I don't want to say that you can make fun of me. It's fine. But if you don't know me and you looked at me, you might go, yeah, you probably like 295.
Yeah,
like, you know, like, yeah, I don't look like I weigh 330 pounds.
That's a big, bold move to go, hey, I need you to get on.
No, they make everyone get on.
Oh, and then that
so
helps.
So then, you know, even these little skinny white women are upset because they don't want to get on the scale.
Right.
No.
You know, oh, yeah. No, they don't want to get. So
they're like, obviously, I'm not. It's like being carted, I guess.
What's the name of this place? Because I'm probably never going to go.
Smokies.
This sounds terrible.
Indoor and outdoor.
It's a great park, but it's got scales.
Now, I'll tell you why they do that, though. Because it's no for safety.
Yeah, well, that's
because I've only gone down a handful of water slides. The last time I went down a water slide, I should not have done that from a safety standpoint because physics.
Yeah.
And you have this much weight and it's going faster and faster and faster. And when it takes that turn, I go so far up the side of it, I thought I was going to be thrown off.
Oh, wow.
I can feel. Can.
Wow.
I could feel
that's
the edge.
That's why usually they do the corners are in tubes. That way you don't fly out. Now, it's not on all of them, but most places, if it's a really good park.
A lot of open slides.
I know there's
sides.
But the sides are lower. But yeah, but like they do the actual turn, the corner with a tube so you don't, you know.
Or
flip.
When they have the turns and it's in a. It's like a dark, it's all blacked out. You can't see the turns.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever try?
Hit your head on the slides.
Did y'all ever try to do the 360, make the loop? Like we would do that. Like we would go in and you'd hit that corner. And when you get into the corner, you throw your body at the same time. And you try to do a loop like through there.
I'm just trying to make things stop.
So there's one ride at Wilderness of the Smokies where it's fully entubed. You're in the tube. First of all, it's one of these where you start off and it goes in a thing and it closes you. And then there's a countdown, 3, 2, 1, and the bottom just drops out.
No. Nope.
So you drop completely straight down.
Nope.
But in this one, it goes down, and it looks from some angles like you do a full loop, okay, upside down. But you don't really, like, you know, it's kind of curved to the side to make it look that way. I legit saw some girl get stuck up there.
Oh,
she got stuck
wow.
up there at the top, and then the water pressure builds up, and it kind of shoots you out. And I looked at that, and I thought, oh, my God, if that was me, I would still be in it right now. Like, they'd have to – it'd be like that scene from A Christmas Story when his tongue gets stuck to the pole, and they got to call the fire department. Oh, my gosh, it's the cops. Oh, my God, that's the fire department. Like that'd be me. I'd just be stuck in this thing. My child standing there with her head in her hand going, oh, gosh, my dad. I can't believe my dad. It's me. Yeah.
Oh, that's so frightening.
The worst.
Have you ever done those things where they you're on a little cart and it goes on a track down the hill?
Yeah, yeah. Alpine slide or whatever.
Oh, like the mining cart rides?
Yeah, well, yeah.
No,
it's not a cart.
It's literally like a skateboard. You know that thing that when we were kids, it would go side to side and it would move? What the hell was that thing?
Yeah, and it had handles. Yeah. Nah, it had like a handle. It's
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, like it's like a seat, and it had little coaster wheels
or
whatever. Like
and
a,
like you have pedals
like a grocery
in front of
cart or something.
And it's attached to a
camber. It's those camber wheels.
A rail, yeah.
And they also have them where they're in like a concrete tube, just like a tube slide, but you're on this thing on wheels. And it's just gravity-based. That's it. You're literally going, you ride up the mountain, and then you ride down, and gravity takes you down.
Yeah.
I haven't done those since I was a kid. I used to love that.
They've
come
in Gatlinburg. They've got a bunch in Gatlinburg.
I really don't think that's a good idea.
I know, because they have a brake. And so, like, people are using the brakes. And so I've got, like, some old lady in front of me, and she's like she would her car, constantly braking. Behind her, and you've got to stay a certain distance behind for safety. And so it just ruined my ride.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, I was going like 5 miles an hour. It sucked. And so I get down there and I go, dude, man, come on. And he's like, all right, just stay on. And so then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to let it roll because I know that the engineers designed this so that if the brake broke, it's still going to stay on.
Right. Yeah, sure.
No matter what. No, they didn't think I was going to get on.
That's right.
I'm not in any of their models. And I let it go. And about halfway down, I'm starting to see the colors. And the ghostly images of my past, my grandfather.
Yeah, right.
I love you. And so I hit the curve and I I was like, okay, I'm buckled in good. Like the metal kind of made a weird like, and I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Just get down and get in your car and drive and get a apple, one of those caramel apples.
Yeah.
Which I love, or taffy. Oh,
and then now we're back to why we can't ride the rides.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that stuff. I also get like the idea that move that motion of roller coaster going over the top and then dropping. Mm-hmm. That you know you get like your stomach in your throat or butterfly, whatever you call that feeling. It hurts me like it's a physical pain.
Do you ever do that in your plane? Because like I would do that. That was one of my favorite things to do.
It hurts. It hurts.
Is like I would take my kid. You even in the plane, it would hurt. Yeah, because it's not as drastic as bad.
But I would get sick feeling.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Oh, my kids loved it, man. I'd throw the fuel pump on, and then we'd, you know, because mine, anytime you do anything, you had to put the fuel pump on, and you know, you do the little up and then drop it down, and everything floats like it's all weightless in the cockpit. It was cool. Yeah, they like that.
Yeah, but
there's a guy on TV right now wearing a bow tie, a full grown man.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure. If you're not wearing a tuxedo, how do you expect to be taken seriously if you're wearing a bow tie?
Well, I think it can go either way. If you're wearing a bow tie as a grown man and you don't have a shirt in that,
mm-hmm.
It depends on what else you're wearing. Like if you have he had weird little round Einstein glasses or Abraham Lincoln
shaggy hair and a mustache.
He looks like a disheveled scientist in the school play.
He did look like that.
It worked for him. Mm-hmm. With this being the 300th episode, what's some of the episodes that you guys remember that you liked a lot?
Oh, well, there's of course James Vanderbeek Day when we learned that Carson hates James Vanderbeek.
Mm-hmm. And why. Got the whole behind the scenes thing and we got to hear the stories of his mom. And didn't his mom recently pass?
His mom died in the last week. Aww. Melinda, yeah.
You know what?
I had some weird feelings about that.
In tribute to her, I think I'm going to go listen to James Vanderbeek Day.
Nope, that's
the first podcast.
I am not saying anything ill toward.
Of course.
Because...
And you should.
Yeah, because...
Even though I didn't like Melinda, I am sorry that she's dead. It sounds like she was battling... I think it was cancer, so I'm very sorry that anybody went through that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes...
That's good. Very, very good of you.
That was a great episode. Mm-hmm. I also liked the episode when it was we're talking Star Wars with
Brett Michaels.
Brett Michaels and his guy.
And Pete.
Yeah. And Brett and I were on team Star Wars is stupid. And Bubba and Pete were like, this is the greatest ever. How can you not, dude?
That's the weird thing is that I mean, we're basically, the four of us are like four dudes who kind of have similar raisings in a way, you know, small town dudes and all that kind of thing. So I thought we all would have been on Team Star Wars. I was kind of shocked that you and, well, I knew about you, but I was kind of shocked that like Brett Michaels.
That Brett Michaels was out getting girls instead of watching Star Wars.
Yeah, he's still got that.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me.
That mojo thing he has, he's still got it.
He does, man.
He can't gain weight. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Because he's like diabetic. So
yeah, type 1.
He will never be fat.
Mm-mm.
That makes me so. And I'm not envious of diabetes. I'm just envious of, yeah.
Like that's the thing. He's not like you look at him and when you see him in person.
But like he's
like,
still got abs. The dude's 50 plus and he's got abs. That's not cool.
Bless him.
You bless him.
He's one of the few guys that has that sex appeal. That he understands women's psyche more than maybe anyone I've ever seen. He's very
aware,
likable. He just he's gets it.
I always tell people, like whether it's Brett Solo or going to see Poison, that going to see Brett is an amazing experience because he's one of those rare frontmen that you can be at the back of the arena and you still feel like he's singing to you. You feel like he saw you. 100% every time. He really is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
He's fun to hang out with.
What's another episode that's really good?
I'm going to go with, I'm going to say that I probably, one of my favorites, there's a couple of them, they're both kind of military themed. I liked episode 101, where we had the crew from the 101st Airborne in. I thought that was cool. You know, some of the SOAR people came in as well. which is Special Operations Aviation Regiment. They were cool. Mm-hmm. And then I'm probably going to go to the Patriot Tour podcast, one of the early ones where we had Marcus Luttrell and his crew all in here. And we talked all about, you know, Team Never Quit and just all the stuff we learned. I mean, even the behind the scenes. I even liked whenever we had Chris Barrett came in and let us play with the new guns and stuff. And mm-hmm. here's the new 50 cal. And that was crazy. I like the stuff like that. I'm looking at some of the comments on Facebook. And Juan Carlos says, this is my first time actually catching you guys doing it live. He's like, I just got Facebook 5 seconds ago to watch this actual 300th episode. So that's kind of cool. He said, I've been binging the podcast in reverse, and I'm on 156 currently. I don't know how you can listen to it in reverse. Like, listening to it in reverse,
backwards.
You're going to miss a lot of the jokes from old references.
I almost think
that's the wrong way to do it. I think start from one. If you're going to binge on the old one, start from one and work your way up.
How about the episode where we explained what golds are?
There's a couple of those.
Those are fun. What was that one?
That's just an old gold.
Hear me here.
Yeah.
Episode 17, where we had the three comedians from Sullivan and Son.
Owen Benjamin.
Roy Wood Jr. Mm-hmm. And
Roy Wood Jr. is so great, too. Yeah.
And Steve Byrne. My gosh, that thing is hilarious.
And that was before Owen was canceled.
Oh, yeah.
Owen Benjamin was still on Twitter and going crazy and doing his insane, wild Owen stuff. And it was
so funny, though. And it's episode 17. Easy to remember.
I liked Kip Moore telling us ghost stories.
Kip Moore telling ghost stories and stuff and talking about his, you know, breaking up with that girl and how much it affected him and driving home from her dumping him in her mama's kitchen.
Kip is great. Only thing is, Kip always, I'll say something and he'll stop and look at me and go, well, that's what I would expect you to say, D. And I was going, what? You know what I'm talking about. I'm like,
I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what he, I don't know if he thinks I'm always trying to make a joke on him or what. But I'm like, he'd be like, yeah, it's a pretty nice day out. And I would go, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
It's episode 176, if you've never heard that. That's Kip Moore.
But again, I think start from the beginning. Look, there's some crazy stuff. Like when you listen to the beginning, the very first podcast, here we are on 300. Who'd have thought, you know, that we'd have gotten this far? Because again, like we said on the radio show, most podcasts end. They stop before they even hit their 10th episode. Mm-hmm. Because
people don't make it to 50.
Most don't make it to 50?
Yeah. I think they say something like 10% of all podcasts make it to episode 100. 10%.
Wow.
So
that's actually way higher than I thought it would have been, because I've started podcasts listening to people going, oh, this is going to be great. And then,
disappear.
Seven or eight episodes in, they're done. They give up. Speaking of, we need some 5 Whiskey Patricks. We need some Stop Following Me from Carson.
Yep.
Carson's done a few this year. I just can't get anybody to come in and sit and be interviewed.
Oh, because of the COVID.
So, I'm looking to get back.
It's not as fun drinking whiskey with somebody whenever it's over.
Drinking whiskey and telling stories is different. It's a totally different
thing. I'll come
vibe.
In. I'll be your guest.
Oh, that'll be great. Bubba and I can't have a conversation more than 5 minutes without me rolling my eyes to the back of my head.
But that
maybe with whiskey. Hey,
I suddenly like this.
Give Bubba some whiskey.
I will
that
Uber
totally
home.
Turn that around.
I'll Uber home, and it'll be fun. I'm in. Hey, can't get anybody. I'm helping you, man. I'm trying to help spread. If you don't have
crossover
those podcasts,
exactly.
If you don't have those podcasts subscribed on your podcast app, Stop Following Me by Carson and Patrick's is 5 Patrick. 5
I'm also
Patrick.
Working on the latest episode of Tracy Lawrence's podcast, which is going to be his interview with Charlie Daniels from last year. Mm-hmm. So that'll be kind of cool. So be on the lookout for that.
Oh, my gosh. We got to mention Charlie on this, too, because the last podcast, episode 299, Charlie was still with us. And
didn't we do a podcast with Charlie? We probably didn't, but we should have.
I think we did. I don't know if we did or not. I think we did. Or did we just talk with Charlie? I mean, we've had him on the show a billion times. Yeah. I'm going to play this again
right now to see.
When we got back in from from doing our work from, I mean, our vacation. I'm trying to find the Charlie clips. You know, the little, well, the boys did it this time. If you can set that up and I can look at this, because I'm going to play those.
What now? What am I doing?
The Charlie, you know, the Charlie thing where he's like, well, they got themselves into a
from
pickle
the
this time.
The Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, because I have to find that, and I don't know what I have it labeled as. So.
Oh, you want me to take over?
Yeah, just stall while I find this.
Oh, so just say whatever. Okay. dogs would be pretty good at poker, except for their tails would give them away.
Wow. Are you literally reading dad jokes, or did that one just come to you?
I just said that. Yeah.
It was pretty good, and it's great.
Yeah.
I think what he wants us to do is say that years ago we had the idea to give Charlie Daniels a script of things to say, so he would be the narrator of the show, which we never use these. I don't know.
Yeah, because like on the Dukes of Hazzard, back in the day, they had Waylon, and Waylon, like Bo and Luke would get themselves into trouble, and Waylon would be like, well, the boys got themselves into a sticky situation. We'll see how this, you know, they'd be covered with honey. The boys got themselves into a sticky situation.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, and they would do all that kind of, very nice. So we were like, actually, I want to say it was Big D's idea, where we're going to have Charlie just do these random little things, like, you know, talking like the show kind of narrator. And we've never used these. There's one that we've used, but these are so great. And now with Charlie gone, I feel so sad because I don't want to use them until, like, on the actual radio, until we talk with the family and clear it with them. But these are so great. Charlie had the coolest voice and the coolest.
That's what inspired it, was just like Charlie just had such a distinct.
What was his
speaking
song,
style.
The One America or
My Beautiful America.
My Beautiful America. Where he just recites over this fiddle playing. And
Have you ever seen the sky over the, you know.
The Rocky Mountains at sunset.
It's astounding. Here, I'm
seen
play
the this. Drunk guy pee on the street in New Orleans.
Those are not part of the lyrics, but they should have been.
We should have had him redo every state's stereotypical redneck.
We failed.
Have you ever seen a meth head in Los Angeles asking you for a map?
Have you ever seen someone in San Francisco poop in a bag sidewalk?
You ever been in Montana and seen someone huffing paint out of a paper sack? Dude, oh my gosh. Well,
we missed our opportunity.
You know what? Yeah, shame on us. But
all right,
yeah.
I'm going to play these real quick, so, just because it's cool.
As we all just.
Well, it looks like the boys got themselves into a pickle this time.
So good, man.
How are they going to get out of this? We'll find out coming up. What a fine mess they've gotten themselves into. American Originals, Big D and Bubba.
We kind of ran out of ideas after that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Big D and Bubba show is on the air.
That was supposed to be like a show kickoff thing.
This one we didn't even write. The one that we actually use, he just...
As unique as America herself, this is the Big D and Bubba show.
That's a good one.
That is good.
Flag-waving, hail-raising sons of America, this is a Big D and Bubba show.
That's the one we used. Mm-hmm. And I think we have one more.
Is there? No, that's the last one.
Okay.
That's so great, man.
I miss him, man. I know this is so dumb to say, I teared up and I kind of, you know, had a couple moments. We were on vacation and I just, for 2 days, I would just look at my wife and go, Charlie's gone. And she's like, I didn't realize you guys were so close. And I'm like, well, we weren't like family. I said, but he was kind of like the grandpa to our show. He was the very first guest we ever had on the show. And it was the biggest, like, it was whenever Patrick first started working with us, we're like, we got to find the biggest person to be like, you know.
It wasn't even that.
It was almost.
We couldn't get people. We were nobody. Like, you know, so the fact that Charlie Daniels agreed to come on the show was the biggest deal.
Well, it was kind of like the way I begged Patrick to get Gerard Butler on the 300th podcast episode. And it was like, hey, could you get us Charlie Daniels? And he's like, yeah, I'll do that.
And except he did. I actually could get Charlie Daniels.
And he did. And it was awesome. Yeah. And then several times a year for 20 years, Charlie would be on the show. And he was one of the coolest people. He would, you know, after the interview would be done on the radio, he would sit here for 45 minutes just talking and telling stories.
And chewing gum.
Chewing gum, man.
Charlie come in. I remember 20 years ago, Charlie didn't chew gum during an interview. And then after, once you hit like 75, you're like,
you don't care.
I don't care. I'm chewing
also,
gum.
Remember how big of a fan he was of the Democrats? Remember that?
He just... He really was. He just loved it.
It's interesting because Charlie is somebody who did have a political transformation. I mean, Charlie was a hippie dude. I mean, Charlie was in there with the whole, you know, anti-war movement and all that kind of stuff during Vietnam. And he kind of went from the anti-war
to... I don't know that he was ever anti-war. He was a hippie because I think they smoked pot, but I don't know that he was
I thought
ever...
he was in on the whole, you know... No Vietnam. I don't know. I'll look it up. I will back that up one day. I'll bing it one day.
You back that up, bub.
I'll back that boo.
I never said that before, and I hope I never ever say that again.
Really kind of
back
upset
it up,
that
Bubba.
You said it this
I did
one
it
time.
Again. I did it twice.
The magic of the 300th podcast.
things are going to happen today, though.
Charlie Daniels performed at a 1969 Vietnam War protest with Earl Scruggs.
Look at that.
And there
oh, my gosh. I saw Charlie Daniels and Earl Scruggs play at the Ford Theater at the Hall of Fame, which holds like 300 people. When Charlie, remember when he did the Bluegrass album? This would have been like 2004, maybe 2005, 2004. And he did like a Bluegrass album of hymns. And it was him, and he played the fiddle a little bit, but it was all, you know, Bluegrass instruments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he did this little show for 300 people at the Country Music Hall of Fame. And at the end, I'll never forget it because at the time it was significant because Earl Scruggs has been dead for a while now. And he was this incredible banjo player that literally invented an entire style of banjo playing that everyone has copied since. And they bring him out. And Charlie, okay, so 14, 15 years ago, Charlie's like 68. So he's older, but he's not.
He's still moving and all that kind of
and
stuff.
And Charlie's out there, and he's just, you know, blowing it away, and he's playing the fiddle, and he's playing the guitar, and he's singing, and everything's great. And they finally go into a very special guest, Earl Scruggs, and they bring Earl Scruggs out, and he was ancient. He was in his 80s, and he was hunched over, and they had, I mean, he could barely walk out there. I'll never forget. And they bring his guitar, his banjo, and hand it to him, and he had to kind of like, they helped him get it over his head because he couldn't do it. And he sat down and like, oh, man, I'm not sure he's going to be able to. And he freaking, it was like all of a sudden he was 22. His fingers moved like lightning. And then Charlie's playing the fiddle and he's playing the banjo. Oh, I wish I had a video of that. It was the coolest freaking thing. It was
thanks
just
for saying
so
freaking
great.
Now.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You get one.
You get one. That's my one.
It's like cable rules.
Do you cuss at home?
Yeah, I guess. You know. I cuss a lot, actually.
Like, why did you tag on an I guess?
Because I don't, I mean, you know, when there's not people around, it's not like I cuss at my wife when it's just the two of us, but like.
Like when
know.
You're talking to yourself, do you find that you cuss? Oh,
I cuss at myself. I will cuss at myself.
You're in your office, Carson, when I'm here by myself. Do I cuss at myself? No, maybe.
I can never tell if it's just you or you're on the phone yelling at somebody.
Cuss at the phone company and the cable company. Yeah.
You actually, whenever you're doing all those things, like we always talk about AT&T, Patrick, and all that, where you turn on the people who are customer service agents. Mm-hmm. Do you actually cuss at them?
See, I try not to, because if you cuss at them, it gives them an excuse to hang up on you. So,
and actually, though, a lot of companies now have the policy that like they can't hang up on you, regardless of. Oh, in another life, when I was a manager in a call center, we had one woman who took such abuse from a customer, and he called her every name you can think of, and then 46 you've never heard before. And she finally had enough, and she hung up. They walked her out the door, because you never hang up on a customer.
What company was that?
Verizon.
Oh, yeah. Don't mess with me, Verizon. I got into a fight with them once, too. Awesome.
Did you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was
recent. Oh, that was the one where they owed you a little.
It
or you
$242.
Owed...
I figured out they
you
were
owed
overcharging
them 242?
Me. No, they owed me $242.42. 44 cents, yeah. And they didn't want to give it to me. So I was like, oh, okay.
I felt like you yesterday. I was at the house, and I get a knock on the door. And I hate people coming door to door to sell me magazines or
soliciting
something.
And all that.
So I get out there, and you know, this guy's standing back off the you know, away from the door.
Right.
I open it up and I go, hey, what's up? And he goes, hey, how are you? I go, hey, what's up? He says, he goes, yeah, so here I'm whatever, Jake, and he's selling some kind of something educational devices for kids, like books and stuff to help them study. I go, I'm good, man. Thanks. He goes, well, do you know the Hendrix down the street?
Are you familiar with poultry?
No, I don't know them. And he pulls out an iPad, and he has pictures with other people, families, and their kids.
In the neighborhood?
I don't know. I didn't recognize them. Oh. And so I was like, nah, I don't know. And he goes, well, how about the so-and-sos? You know them, right? And I do. And I go, I don't know. And he goes, all right, well. And I go, he goes, well, here's what we're doing. I go, guys, it's hot. Let's pick it up.
Yeah.
Because and there's a guy behind him.
I don't want to do this.
There's a guy behind him. He's dabbing his head with a towel. I go, your poor dude back here. He's over here, you know, sweating to death. I don't want it. So I'm going to, well, I know you don't, but what is your name? I said, John.
Get off my lawn.
And he says, okay, well, John, I'm so-and-so, and, you know, can I hand you a card? And I said, I'm good, man. It's fine, you know.
I'm not interested.
Coronavirus and all. You get. And he's like, oh, yeah, right. He goes, well, thanks so much. I'm sorry, what was it again? I said, David. He goes, David, thank you, David. I was like, man, we all have a little Patrick in us. Like, we do. We all do. A little, not a little.
I was about to say that wasn't much.
That wasn't bad.
That, yeah,
that was a little more Big D. That was pretty much 100% Big D. That was yeah.
Oh, really?
That was totally you.
Yeah.
Now, if it would have been me, I would have actually. I wouldn't have even gone that long. They'll come to my door, and it's weird because I'm. You know, I'm kind of clingy, not clingy, but like whenever I'm talking to a listener, I'll talk to them for a long time.
Oh, yes, we know.
Or whatever. Yeah. I know, but you know what
oh
I mean.
Oh, my gosh, Carson, you've only flown with us a few times. You know Bubba will talk to everyone in the airport.
So
everyone.
I will do that. But for some reason, I have this thing. When somebody comes to my house, they're invading my space because, you know, that's my brain. By the way, when I answer the door, I am always armed. So just saying that to those who want to come and solicit. But yeah, so I'm no, I just, dude.
Dude trying to sell you educational stuff.
I'm armed to the teeth.
You don't know that. You don't know, man. You don't know if they're trying to sell something or trying to just get you to open your door. Anyway, so
we own a gun.
I do have that, and I do talk to him sometimes through it.
The fact that you answer a door at all, do people do that?
Well, he's got to tell him he's a fireman.
Today is my 2-year anniversary. Today is my 2-year anniversary of graduating,
y'all. This is my favorite podcast ever.
That's when the guys are like, they're like walking away, going, okay, well, thanks. No. Look at this. This is a picture of me in a burn house. And then me and the guys, I'm fine. Thank you, sir. No, wait, come back.
Here's an Instagram post I did of me riding in the front of the truck. Don't you want to see it? But this is the.
You know, I'm medically certified. Look at this. Wait, I'm going to go get my paper and come back and show you.
Where are you going?
You don't see my turnout gear?
You'll never believe I can get these boots on these giant freaking calves of mine.
No, I'm excited. Big D is throwing out real terms. Did you open up a web page or something?
No,
I just pay attention to you.
You say crap all the time.
You ever find a door that you can't open? I can open any door there is.
I can do it in 45 seconds or less.
You know where I go?
It might take me 6 tries.
You know where I go? I go where you don't want to.
Yes. I never say
by
that.
By the way, sir.
I run into hell. You run from
it. Let me just say, fail to plan.
Plan to fail. Fail to plan.
God damn it, I did it wrong.
Come back anytime.
Oh my gosh.
The guys would love to meet you.
I wish I could tell you these were lies.
No.
I'm kind of embarrassed.
No disputing.
I'll be right back. I'm going to go get more coffee.
Yeah, that's another.
Dude, to show you how much coffee I drink, instead of going and take coffee,
I brought a carafe in.
So I could just fill. I'm
is
like,
it cold?
Yeah, it's not. It's lukewarm. I mean, but.
That's a look at that nice 17 mug you got.
That's
though.
Right.
That's nice.
17 mugs available right now at BigDandBubba.com.
Those are my favorite. BigDandBubba.com.
That's my favorite merch that we have is that mug, actually. And the hat, 17 hats. Well, you and I had some kind of done off you know, one, yeah, one off to whatever.
Experimental. I have a pain in my back about right here.
You just pulled a muscle?
Heart related, or did I just pull a muscle?
Definitely heart related.
It's not heart related. I can tell you that because I'm a first
responder. How much Chick-fil-A did you eat?
Between the Chick-fil-A and laugh until I almost peed.
Well, who's up on our interviews?
Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, Alex Winter, Bill S. Preston Esquire from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and all the Bill and Ted movies. We talk about the documentary he's got on right now that's on HBO. It's pretty interesting about Hollywood kids and, you know,
it really
children
is.
In
mm-hmm.
in movies and whatnot in entertainment. Then we talk about Bill and Ted and we cover all that. Also, Cole Swindell is going to be piggybacked where we talk about the new music and, you know, touring and lack of doing anything and how bored he is and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Sweet. Well, happy 300th, everyone. And thank you. And tell a friend about the podcast.
Yeah.
Spread it and send them a link.
Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go out with the Patrick song that has become synonymous with the end, half of the end of the podcast. It's kind of a weird thing the way we do that. Where that plays.
Well,
and
we don't always end the podcast. Now, like if you're watching on the live feed, whenever the jingle is over, that's it. It's all done. But if you're listening on a podcast app, that's where we have the interviews
section.
That we'll throw on, like bonus stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, thank you, everyone, and happy 300th, y'all.
This is Sparta!
This was the podcast, but now it's over, but that's okay.
Yeah.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
300.
Bye, y'all.
I'm sorry, Brian. Alex Winter's joining us on the hotline. He's got a documentary out. It's called Showbiz Kids. It's on HBO, and he's here with us now. Hey, Alex, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic, bro.
Wonderful.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say excellent. God, I missed it.
Just don't. Don't do that.
I meant,
don't
but,
be that guy,
but
man.
But you know, he gets this everywhere he goes. If we didn't do it, it would be an affront to his everything.
I know. Alex, of course, plays Bill S. Preston Esquire, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. But this documentary is about is called Showbiz Kids, and it's about, you know, kids being in the film industry at a young age, and which is what you did. Did you know, like when you got into this, did you realize how hard it is to do all this?
To some degree you do, so to some degree you don't. You know, I started it at a very young age, like a lot of kids. I was on stage by around 7, 8 years old, and I was pretty much fully professional by 10 and worked every day nonstop until I was about 25, 26.
Jeez.
You know, around the childhood stuff that goes on. So, I mean, I you just kind of dive in. I was one of those kids who really, really wanted to do it, which I think is more common than people realize. And so I was very happy doing it. I loved being on stage. I loved being on TV. I loved performing and training and studying and taking class and all that stuff. But a lot of challenging stuff comes with it. And I think for a lot of kids, they don't quite realize what they're going through until they've already gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in general, the experience, I'd never really seen it conveyed the way I experienced it in sort of a full range of what that was like. And that's really what I wanted to do with the doc, was just say, here's what it is. You know, not maybe what you heard it was or what you thought it was, but here's what it is from a horse's mouth.
The parents are overly pushy. Do you get into that in this documentary?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we get into all of it. And we, you know, we're not out to, like, myth bust or anything. But by the same token, I wanted to show by letting people talk and showing the honest experience that it would naturally break some cliches. I think that the idea of the stage mother who shoves their unwilling child into it, it's pretty rare. It does happen. And so we do address it. And we address it head on. But it's pretty rare.
Okay.
Most kids, you know, the type of kid that's going to make it in the entertainment industry, given how difficult it is to break in, it generally takes a legitimate passion on their part. It's the kids who don't make it often don't make it because they either don't really want it or it isn't what they think it is. You know, they think it's like being a Kardashian, right?
Right.
And then they get there and it's like, oh, this is actually incredibly grueling and not glamorous at all. You know,
right.
I don't want to do this. So the kids that make it are generally like, yeah, this is what I signed up for. This is what I want to do. And they will just work their butts off.
And do you find also, like, a lot of times, everybody's talked about nepotism in Hollywood and in music and all that in general. Do you find that the kids of other acting families and legacy actors, do you find that they are easier to work with, or are they harder?
They are usually easier because they are just so experienced. You know, they have an enormous amount of experience, and they have a certain kind of professionalism. And so that usually makes it easier to work with them.
Is that why we have more child actors or actors who have come up that have been, you know, through Hollywood families? Is that they know what to expect, maybe?
I think so. I think that you know, people who have done that and don't want to do it anymore get out. And I think that people who kind of knew what they were signing on for and love the craft and it's really who they are, kind of recognize that life comes with traumas and challenges, whether you're in the entertainment industry or not. And they keep at it. And I think there's many more of them than people realize. I think the kind of myth of people who just break down, a lot of times, you know, to kind of speak to the cliche of where are they now, a lot of times the people are not in the public eye because they specifically don't want to be in the public eye anymore. And they got out and they just went on and did other things. I think, you know, I think the kid who played Charlie in the Chocolate Factory is a veterinarian somewhere and I'm sure is very happy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I liked it when Winnie Cooper from Wonder Years went off and became this brilliant mathematician. And I was sad when she started popping up on my Lifetime movies. Hallmark Channel movies.
I was like, oh, she
did so great.
She got out. Anyway. Hey, Alex went through this. The Showbiz Kids is the documentary. It's on HBO. Bubba was so excited when it came out that there was going to be a Bill and Ted 3, and
dude, it lingered. There were so it was like decades, you know, between number 2 and the one that's coming out, and I couldn't contain my excitement. I remember I walked in and Patrick said, "Bubba, you gotta see this tweet." And it was the tweet that announced that the movie was coming. Yeah. And I freaked out, Alex.
Oh my God,
I was so
dude.
Stoked.
It was embarrassing.
I mean, I'm one of those parents. I make my kids watch all of our old movies. And
yeah, I do that too.
Yeah. So
I get it.
So they know, they're familiar with it. So we're going to have a big, you know, if everything gets back to normal and we can go to the theaters, we're going to have a big family outing and we're going to do it. Oh, by the way, it's also very off-putting whenever you're showing your kids other old movies and they're watching Lost Boys and they go, "How is he scary? He's Bill and Ted."
So, yeah, I
was actually wondering that while I was shooting it, so I hear you.
So the release date is supposed to be August 28th. Is that going to happen, or is this going to get pushed back?
I hope so. I mean, we're working really hard on it. I don't have full control over that, but we've made our opinions known that we don't want people to be forced to do something that's not safe. Beyond that, we really want to get it out. Soon, if possible. You know, we've worked really hard on the film. We're really proud of it. It came out really well, we feel, and we think it's going to put a smile on people's faces. So we'd like to get it out there, but we don't want to do it if it's going to cause people harm.
I love the trailer. I've watched the trailer probably half a dozen times.
How are we not going to see John Wick in that now? It's like, it's so, I feel like your kids, Bubba. You're kind of like, yeah, how can that's John
Wick?
Yeah,
yeah, because you've kind of gotten that.
I got out of it back
Keanu.
Into, yes.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah. What about like in the next John Wick, they do an Alex Winter cameo?
Oh, yes.
That would be cool. Like, you could be trying to kill him and he takes you out.
That's right.
I would be down for that.
Yeah, give me 1,000 guns.
That's right. Hey, listen, congratulations on the documentary. It's called Showbiz Kids.
Thank you.
And Alex Winter is on the hotline. Thanks, Alex. We appreciate it. Have a great one, man.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, you guys.
You bet.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Cole Swindell, what up?
Hey,
dude.
Hey.
Hey.
How doing?
Good, man.
What's going on with you? Man, I thought about you the other day. I sat down.
Weirdo.
I sat down at dinner. Gunner had a baseball tournament,
yeah.
And this guy's looking at him, and he goes, he says, "Who do you play for?" And he kind of tells him the whole thing, and he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "You ever want to play for Georgia Southern? Just let me know." He goes, "That's where I played, and I'm real tight with the coach."
No way.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, geez. That's
it's Cole School.
That's the second person I know.
Rodney. Yeah, Coach Hennon, man. He's been there a while. He's a great guy, and like I said, man, love some Georgia Southern, and that's, hey, I'll put in a word, too. You let me know.
Okay. Well, I'm letting you know. When you come out with this new song, you know, it's not a great time really to come out with a new song, but
you say that. I think it's a perfect time to come out with a new song. People are looking for entertainment.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean it is. Like I said, everything's just obviously different right now, but for me, I mean, it is a kind of different time. I mean, everything, you're putting out new music, you want everybody to hear it. But I think it's kind of both. I mean, I think people are wanting new music, but then also, I don't know. I'm glad I put it out because this is what I wanted. I wanted a fun song for the summer. It's summer, and it's out, and it's good to be back, man. I had a little break and didn't have a song on the radio for a while, and like I said, it feels good to have a new one and be starting off this next project.
So what is life like right now? I mean, I feel stupid asking this because that's what everybody said. I'm asking the same question you've had every time you talk to anybody. But honestly, I mean, you're not touring, right?
Yeah. No, that's, like I said, man, I don't think, I mean, all of us, no matter what you do, I think everybody's whole year has obviously been weird. But for me, I mean, thank God for apps like Zoom and stuff. I never realized, you know, people wrote over those things. And now I've written probably more songs this year already than I did all of last year, just because it's kind of what I've been focused on. It's honestly what I've been relying on to get me through this. It keeps me somewhat sane. I think getting to write every day. And like I said, when you're in the middle of making a new album, it's kind of good timing to have some time to write. So I'm trying to find any good thing I can in this thing.
Also, trying to get back on the road sometime soon. And I guess we'll reschedule that for next year, like everything else.
Are you bored?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I just never, you know, you have time off from tours or whatever, but this is like we've had to have time off. It's a little different for me. I'm trying to find things to do, but people ask, like, what you been doing? I mean, you can't really do anything. So that's what I'm saying. The whole writing thing's kind of kept me in there. And then also I love golf. So I've been trying to, when I can get outside and just get out of the house, man. So all I've been up to.
Who's the best golfer that you play with as an artist?
Jake Owen, for sure. He's really good.
Well, Jake played in college.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, people think that I'm good. I'm not terrible. But some of these guys, like, I mean, Jake and Darius, Charles Kelly, I mean, Kip Moore, Dustin Lynch. There's a bunch of them that people might not even think about that are really, really good. So
who do we know that was like a pro? Colt Ford.
Ford.
Oh, yeah, Colt.
Really, really good. Oh, I didn't even – yeah, obviously Colt. I mean, he's also a great teacher, man. I mean, some people can play but really don't know how to – tell you, I mean, Colt, anytime I've ever played with him, he'll tell you like one thing and it just changes. He's really good at what he does.
So. Yeah, but does that get old quick? I mean,
oh my gosh, I used to play. Get so
remember,
ticked.
You and I used to hang out with a golf pro all the time. That's how, I mean, every swing he would give you advice.
That does, yeah. No, that's the good thing about Colt. You ask him, you know, everybody wants to help sometimes, but it's just, yes, if somebody doesn't ask you for it, you might mess them up way more than you help. So.
I remember one time, Bob, we were playing golf and what's the comedian's name, Bob?
Rodney Carrington?
Yeah, with Rodney Carrington.
Oh, my God.
Dude, he kept a rubber snake in his bag so that whenever you go to like putt or something, he would leave it close to the back of the cart. So to try and – yeah, he had like a skit the entire time. But anyway, so he would hit – Bubba would go and hit off the tee box. And so Bubba is like – he hits it so hard. It like the ball makes weird noises when it comes – now, it doesn't always find it because we don't know it goes into orbit.
I don't know where it goes half the time. Yeah. No, three quarters of the time.
He was like, you're the most violent golfer I've ever – played with. But I was like, I know, man, with his persimmon wood driver. It's like from 1938.
It's one my dad gave me. I mean, dude,
hey, I like it. I
only play golf like once or twice a year. So I use my old hand-me-downs that my dad gave me. Nothing wrong with that.
I just love that y'all got to play with Rodney Carrington. I bet no laughs were had out there.
Oh, no. None.
That had to have been hilarious.
Was that the day I went skinny dipping?
Oh, yeah. That's when, yeah. He throws it into the pond.
It was raining. Yeah. It was slightly raining, and I swung, and it slipped out of my hand, and it went in the pond. And I wasn't going to lose that wonderful driver we were just talking about.
It was just sitting there, like, floating. All like you could bobbing. See was bobbing, like, in the middle. And so Bubba, like, legit took off all his clothes and jumped in for it.
Oh, my God. All right, well, you got to get that driver.
Yeah, that's right. And then about halfway through, we're like, oh, turtles.
Snapping watch out. Turtles.
Snapping turtles.
So now I'm trying to swim holding a golf club in one hand and my other stuff in the other hand, and I'm trying to just get to the out of it.
Yeah. Fighting off turtles.
All right. Dude, it was good talking to you. I hope you're well. Come back and see Absolutely. Come see us whenever all this is, you know, madness.
Dude, who
is
cares?
Over.
Come see us whenever.
Yeah, you can.
I know I'm over this stuff. I can't wait till we're all back in this thing and getting the hang. But y'all stay safe, and appreciate everything y'all have done for me so far, man. I appreciate it.
Always, man. Everybody check out Single Saturday Night, the new one from Cole Swindell.